Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, as we come now to the ninth and maybe final part of our series on spiritual warfare. We'll see how God leads. But this is going to be our last sermon from this portion of God's Word, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. When we began this series a couple of months ago, I shared with you my prayer for this series and at how God would use it, first of all, in my life, my prayer for my own heart, my own life, and my prayer for you as well. I trust that prayer has been answered to some degree or another in your life. And the prayer was this. It was for God to work through His Word in His people to, one, increase our awareness of the spiritual struggle. Too often we live without an awareness of that, and so we don't go to the Lord as we should and His means of victory. So to be more aware of our spiritual struggle, I certainly hope that's true for you. Secondly, it was to have a more intentional commitment daily to be ready and equipped for this fight. And then third, for God to strengthen us to stand where we are too often falling and may not even realize it. I pray that that has been true, that God has been strengthening you to stand in places where you have too often been falling. Falling because we aren't putting on daily God's provision for victory. And even if we are having a regular time each day, reading the Word of God and praying, you know, if we hadn't been before this series, having a time with the Lord each day in His Word and prayer, or hadn't been too consistent in that, I hope that's been an area where the Spirit of God has been working in you. To have that time each day. But even if we are doing that, we have to strive to be walking in the truth of God's Word throughout the day, or we'll be falling. I mean, if we have a great time with the Lord and His Word and prayer, we get up and 5 minutes later walk in the flesh, we're going to fall, right? Prideful. How easily we are prone to pride. If we're not applying the truth, we're going to be prideful people, self-focused, discouraged by our failures, frustrated, defeated, instead of experiencing the victory and the joy that Christ has provided for us to experience, every believer in Him. So I pray along with me you've been encouraged through this series. Encouraged, not just to add another thing to your daily to-do list. You know, if you're a checklist person, I hope that isn't the extent of this. Okay, I got more to do now in the morning. Bell the truth, breastplate of righteousness, you know. Another thing to check off. No! I hope you've been encouraged to feast on the truth of God's Word. Isn't that a good thing, to feast? You like to feast? All right. Spiritually, to feast on the truth of God's Word that we are privileged to have in our own language, to read for ourselves. To feast on who God is for me each day. To feast on the goodness of His will for me today. To think rightly about my God and my life. Belt of truth. Encouraged to renew my dedication to please the Lord today, that His ways will satisfy me, not the ways of my flesh, not the ways of the world. And to pursue righteousness, breastplate of righteousness, not just by, you know, trying harder today, no, but by the power of the Spirit of God who is within me. And then encouraged to walk in the gospel of peace today. Have my shoes on, right? To walk in the truth that God loves me as a believer in Christ, that God is for me, not against me. How many times does the devil trip us up with that lie, right? That in Christ, God's wrath is no longer on me. Not God. God isn't condemning me by these things in my life. He loves me. He is working good for me. He is faithful and unceasing in His mercies. That's the shoes I need for the spiritual battle. So those are the things we need to have on all the time to be prepared. Okay, just like the soldier would, on-duty soldier would have those three things on. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, right? Ready to go when the commander calls him into battle. Then as we are in the midst of trials and temptations, okay, facing challenges throughout the days, we go out into the trials and temptations of this world, and they're coming on us, then we take up, right, the shield. the shield of faith. Encouraged to trust God and believe His word. Not be deceived by the lies of sin. That Christ satisfies me. Sin can never satisfy me. Shield of faith. And then take up the helmet of salvation. Hope you've been encouraged to have hope, right? Hope in the face of hopeless situations in this world. To be assured that God is working to deliver me, as Ron prayed, that His plan and His purposes are for my good in these things and for His glory when Christ returns. Hope, my helmet. And then encouraged to apply God's word. To use Scripture as a weapon, right? As that dagger, that short sword, to take out and find the chinks in our enemy's armor, the vulnerabilities, the lies, right? Take the truth and drive the enemy back as we fight our pride and envy and lust and anger and anxiety. Sword of the Spirit. And now one more part of the full armor of God, and that's prayer. Praying at all times in the Spirit, verse 18. Which is how we activate all the other parts of the armor. This is how we stay connected to the strength of His might, prayer. Prayer is how, Isaiah 40, verse 31, how we wait for the Lord and gain what? New strength. Prayer is how we run and don't get weary, how we walk and don't faint. So one more time, let's read through our passage, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Will you stand together with me as we read and submit ourselves to the holy word of God? Where Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert and with all perseverance and petition, pray for all the saints." Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless your word in our midst this morning. Father, you know, even as we stand here praying together in spirit, Father, you know how this is one of these areas that your word speaks about throughout the word, from the beginning in fellowship with you to we're breaking that fellowship to the restoration of that fellowship and your provision and the struggles we have, Father, to seek you. And not our flesh and the world and the devil. If anything, this is one of those areas, Father, you know we talk a lot about, we say a lot about praying for one another, but Father, this is an area we fail often. So Father, would you please work by your Spirit to remind us, to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, and to continue to train us in righteousness so that we will, Father, be thoroughly equipped for every good work, for your glory. And we pray it to your praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now some say that since there's no piece of the Roman soldier's armor that directly corresponds to prayer, in Paul's words here, that prayer isn't considered to be part of the full armor of God. However, I think we need to see it otherwise. In the Greek, verse 18 is not a new sentence. It's not a new sentence. It flows right out of verse 17. In fact, verses 4, this kind of reflects what happens in chapter 1, that long sentence. This is very similar, where verses 14 to 20 form one long sentence from the pen of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Literally, it's, "And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at every time," or praying at all times. Verse 14, the beginning of the sentence, "We stand firm," how? "Having put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and then by taking up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and praying." Praying at all times in the Spirit. That's how we stand firm against the schemes of the devil. It's a spiritual battle, after all. So let's consider verse 18 as we close out this series. First of all, number one, he admonishes us to pray with all prayer and petition. Pray with all prayer and petition. What does it mean to pray with all prayer? The NIV says with all kinds of prayer. At our men's retreat last weekend, we had a great discussion in our last session about applying what we had heard from the speakers in the area of discipleship. And most of the conversation turned to the topic of prayer, specifically praying corporately, praying together as brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. And a question came up about how do we get away from, you know, just praying for health needs, physical needs. And there was some good encouragement shared in different aspects of that and how we facilitate sharing and prayer for much more than that. And I plan to talk about some of the things that God challenged us in at the opening night of our men's and women's groups when they start up soon. But in that discussion, one pastor recalled a common acronym that we often use when we list different kinds of prayer, all prayer, that the Bible speaks of. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? ACTS, right? A-C-T-S. A, adoration. Worship. Praising God for who He is. That's part of prayer. And then C, confession. Acknowledging our sins before God and seeking forgiveness and cleansing. And T, thanksgiving, thanking God for His many undeserved blessings and mercies. And then S, supplication, specific requests and needs that we bring to God, trust Him with, right? That's pretty comprehensive. You're praying like that, you are guarding yourselves against temptation, right? Paul's saying our prayers before God should include all kinds of prayer, not just asking for things, not just confession or thanksgiving, but every form of prayer the Bible speaks of. Being ready in all situations to praise God as we see evidences of His beauty and His goodness and His sovereignty and His faithfulness, to lift Him up as Lord who alone is to be worshipped. To constantly keep putting our lives into right perspective. That's what praise does. That God is the center of all things, not me. As Paul does in Romans 11:33, he breaks out into praise and he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways." Praise Him as God. This is prayer. It's part of our defense and our offense against the schemes of the devil. And then confession, being quick to be broken over our sins and confess them to God, come to Him in Christ through His finished work on the cross for our sins, for cleansing, for renewal, for strength. This is prayer. And being quick to thank God for His undeserved blessings in our lives, being thankful, along with bringing to Him our requests and our desires. So with all prayer. And then Paul says also with all petition. With all petition. In the context here, this seems to be speaking especially of asking God what we and others need in the midst of temptation. That's the context here, the spiritual battle, right? Taking our petitions to God in the midst of trials and temptations, where our enemy is looking to bring us down into sin, to pull us away from Christ and trust in ourselves. We need to bring our petition, our supplication to the Lord. Sometimes it's as simple as, Lord, help me. How many times I pray that prayer? Lord, help me. Lord, give me strength. I need you. As we confess regularly, Hebrews 4:16, through Jesus Christ, let us draw near, Christian, with confidence, because of Christ, right? With confidence to God's throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to what? Help in time of need. In time of need, times of temptation, times of battling our besetting sins. We need to go before God, requesting, pleading that we might receive mercy and find grace to stand in the battle instead of trying to handle it in our own strength, right? Which will fail. Praying like, Father, you know, here comes this flaming arrow of lust again. This area of self-indulgence that is just a real struggle for me, that I've fallen so many times. Father, help me to remember the sufficiency of Christ so that I turn away from this, so that I see that I don't need this. I need you. Right? And the lust of the eyes, Father, help me to remember the riches that I have in Christ that aren't passing away like the things of this world, so that I won't covet what other people have, so that I'll be content with what you have given me in your love for me. In the boastful pride of life, Father, remind me that you're God, and I'm not, that I'm a needy sinner, saved by your grace. I haven't arrived. Help me not to act like it. Help me to desire that grace and mercy for others. Lord, you need to increase, and I need to decrease. With all prayer and petition, we need to go to God. When? When? Number two, pray at all times, Paul says. Pray at all times. Literally in every time. Maybe you're one who tends to just pray in the morning and then kind of set aside your need for God as you go through your day until the next morning, and then you come back and pray to God again. Well, you need to be more intentional about seeking God throughout the day, in the evening. Or maybe for you, it's too easy to just get up and start your day without praying. And you need to be more intentional about seeing your need to pray in the morning, taking time for that, getting up earlier for that. Pray at all times. Just as Paul admonishes us as well, maybe this has already come to your mind, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Or pray continually. In the Psalms, we have the example of God's people seeking him in prayer in the morning, throughout the day, in the evening, as well as praying during the night watches, right? Jesus as well. Jesus, in Luke 18, told his disciples a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. These verses are describing what? A life of ongoing prayer, relationship with God, communion with God, prayer as a lifestyle, prayer in the midst of life's battles. And again, Jesus, we've been looking throughout this series at the perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ in his incarnation, right? Jesus perfectly exemplified this. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 6. Last week we saw our Lord's example and the temptation in the wilderness. Here again we see an example, a perfect example of our Lord here in the midst of his earthly struggles. In fact, in the previous chapter in Luke 5:16, we're told that Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Think about that. Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness and pray, to commune with his Father. Why the wilderness? Well, less distractions, right? Better able to focus. And we need to find times and places like that as well to slip away often and pray. Luke 6:12. It was at this time that he, Jesus, went off to the mountain to pray. And look at this. He spent the whole night in prayer to God. He spent the whole night in prayer to God. Why would he do that? We'll keep reading. Verse 13. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Why did Jesus pray all night? Well, because Jesus knew that he had important decisions to make the next day. Choosing out of the many who were following him, choosing his apostles, including the traitor Judas, fulfilling God's will in that as well. Jesus needed to know the will of the Father. He spent all night in communion with his Father. Now, this was a little convicting to me. I'm one who tries to be careful to get enough sleep. I count my hours. I think I've already told you guys that. It's kind of weird. Maybe you do too. I got 6.5 hours of sleep last night, right? Or whatever it is, 7. Oh, I'm doing good. I did 7.5 last night. But I especially do that. I get real concerned about how much sleep I'm going to get when I'm facing a big day coming up. I want to try to get to bed earlier. I have a big trip coming up, and I got to leave early for it. So I try to go to bed early, like before the men's retreat. You know, we got pretty early and left. You know, so I try to go to bed early. And so often when I do that, what do? I lay awake, and I can't get to sleep, right? I usually get like 3 or 4 hours, and then I'm depending on the Lord more the next day. But, you know, there are times we got to follow our Lord here. There are times that we've got so many important things to do the next day that we need to stay up and pray. We need to seek our Father's wisdom and discernment. We need to have His mind and His heart. So here's a good question. Was Jesus physically tired the next day after being up all night praying on the mountain? Yeah. Yes. He was fully God and fully man, remember. But was he ready for the spiritual challenges of the next day? Yes. Because, you know, after he chose the 12, his day wasn't over. Keep reading. Verse 17. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, and there was a large crowd of his disciples and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits, demons, were being cured. Why did Jesus pray all night? Why did he get away often to pray? Because he was doing battle with Satan. And in his communion with the Father and with the Spirit through prayer, he not only had wisdom, he had power. Verse 19. And all the people were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. What about us as followers of Jesus Christ in this world? You know, and the temptations and challenges that we're facing. Do we want to have God's wisdom and God's power? Do we want to be able to stand and not fall when Satan attacks, to make wise decisions, to have victory over sin and know the joy of doing the will of God instead? Well, then, brothers and sisters, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray daily. We need to pray in the morning. We need to pray at night, even all night, into the middle of the night in some occasions. At all times. When we get up, when we go to bed, when we're driving in our cars. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. There's lots of times I don't close my eyes when I pray, even if I'm not driving. I'm down in my prayer closet, so to speak, area where I get away, and I'll just look out the window at the trees and I'll pray. Pray with thankful hearts. Look to God for a thankful heart if you don't have a thankful heart. Okay, His Spirit is able to do that within you. Seek Him for help and for wisdom and for strength. I mean, do we think we'll stand in this spiritual warfare in our own wisdom and strength? I mean, how many times have we even read our Bibles in the morning, read our devotionals, and then just gotten up and walked into the day without really praying? Guilty? And here we go, falling into temptation over and over and over. We need to read verses 10 through 13 again in our text and remember who it is we're up against. It's not your spouse, it's not your children, it's not your coworkers, it's not who's in office, it's not some dictator across the ocean. It's what? The spiritual forces of wickedness who've been around for centuries, who know our weaknesses, who know our vulnerabilities. That's who we're up against. Do we realize what's really at stake for the sake of the gospel? We'll look at that a little bit later in verses 19 to 20. But we need to see this and see our need to be praying at all times if we're truly, verse 10, going to be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. How in the world, Christian, can you and I be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might without praying? Can you? I don't think so. This is why Paul then goes on in our text, if we go back to Ephesians 6, to say pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the flesh isn't prayer, by the way. Pray in the Spirit. How do we know if we're praying in the Spirit? Just listen to Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Paul says that the Spirit helps our weakness. Praying in the Spirit is when the Spirit carries us along. It's when we know we need to pray, okay? You know you need to pray, and you decide to pray. And in our minds and hearts, we turn to God to pray, but how often we don't really know what to pray, or we don't know how to pray, or we don't even have the strength to pray. But the Spirit carries us through. And we turn to God to pray, and then He helps us. And so this call to pray in the Spirit is also a reminder and a promise that we aren't alone in the battle. We aren't alone in the battle. It keeps us mindful that all of our efforts to resist temptation aren't successful because of us, all right? But because of Him. Because the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, because the Lord is with us, helping us. And then Paul says, number four, pray with watchfulness and perseverance. Verse 18 again of our text, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance. Part of praying in our spiritual warfare is, first of all here, being on the alert. Being on the alert or being watchful. What does this mean? Interesting. Going back to a little lesson I talked about a few minutes ago. The Greek word here literally means to chase sleep, to be sleepless, to keep awake. It's an intentional sleeplessness. It's a staying awake and alert in order to watch out for something. Maybe think here of the soldiers in ancient cities who were given the task of guarding the city, watching on the city wall throughout the night while everyone else slept. Chasing sleep, right? Keeping themselves awake to be on the lookout for any enemies. Maybe perhaps what you've done driving through the night when you're tired. Right? This is what we're called to do here spiritually in our prayers, to chase sleep, to keep awake, to be watchful. Again, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? In His great hour of trial, the night before the cross, He tells His disciples that His soul was deeply grieved to the point of death. It's hard to fathom that, but this is our Lord, what He was going through. Deeply grieved to the point of death. And what does He ask them? He asked them to keep watch with Him, right? And after agonizing in prayer sweating drops of blood, our Lord comes back to them and finds them what? Sleeping. How many times? Three times. And he says to Peter in Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41, "So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Maybe there needs to be our memory verse for the week, our fighter verse for the week. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. How do we pray this way? Be alert. Be watchful. Well, one way is to be aware and on guard against where we are most vulnerable to sin. Be aware and alert of where you are most vulnerable to sin, where Satan often attacks you, and pray your way through those situations. Like, "Lord, I know I'm weak when it comes to being impatient and easily irritated, especially with my family. Strengthen me, Father, as I come home from a rough day at work. Strengthen me as I don't feel well today. Strengthen me because it's just been one thing after another not going well today. And here, I'm really vulnerable to Satan's attacks. Help me, Father." Pray your way through it. How many times have we fallen into sin and gone back and just, "Stupid, why I didn't pray? I didn't turn to the Lord. I would have. I wouldn't have been attracted by that sin. It would have been repulsed by it. Father, remind me to use my sword of the Spirit today of how you've been so compassionate and gracious to me. How you're so slow to anger with me, abounding in love. Let that control my spirit as I come home. Remind me, Father, of 1 Corinthians 13:4. Mike read it last week. That love is first of all what? Patient. And love is kind and not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. How arrogant, Father, it is of me to come home and be impatient with my family, to expect to be served and not serve, to be more like you. Remind me, Father, to be still and know that you are God." And then Paul says we are to pray with all perseverance. With all perseverance. Again, our Lord exemplified this perfectly. Like in Matthew 26, right? Three times that night, our Lord separated himself from his disciples so that he might seek the Father for strength to overcome in his hour of greatest need, to resist the temptation of the devil to avoid the cross. He persevered in prayer, and his prayer was answered. But by contrast, what were the disciples doing? Probably what we'd be doing, right? They kept falling asleep, not alert, not diligent to be watchful against temptation. Even the Lord, though the Lord had warned them, right, in the upper room of what was coming, and how they would all fall away on account of him. Don't you think they'd be, "No, Lord, not me. No, Father, help me. That does, I don't want to fall away. I want to be faithful to my Lord." No. Sleeping, right? Don't our eyes get heavy in prayer sometimes? Well, maybe that's because we're not seeing its importance. We need to remember Jesus' warning. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Enter into temptation and fall. Persevere in prayer and seeking God for the power, the strength to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, which are lies, which as Ron said, are the ways of death, of destruction. Stand firm against those schemes of the devil working in your heart in the trials and temptations. Be like Jacob. Remember Jacob wrestling with the Lord in Genesis 19? What did he say to the Lord? "I will not let you go until you bless me." Picture that in your prayers. And then finally, I love that we're going to end with this. Pray for all the saints, Paul says. Pray for all the saints. I wish every member of Calvary Bible was here this morning. If not, I'm going to tell them, listen to it. Mark that point in the sermon. At least go to that part and listen to this. This is just something God's really working in us right now. I want to see this grow. We need to remember that the book of Ephesians was written not to an individual, not to individuals scattered around. It was written to a local church. Ephesians is about the church. It's a great book on the church. And Paul here in verse 18 reminds us of the corporate nature of spiritual warfare. Do you know that? We're not in this alone, Christian. Just think of the imagery. We've been painting the imagery of Roman soldiers throughout this series, right? Think of the imagery of Roman soldiers that Paul's been using. He knew that they didn't go out and fight in isolation from each other, right? No, when they went into battle, what'd they do? They linked their shields together as a solid unit. They held their ground in unbreakable formation, which is a great picture of the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ, locking arms together, supporting each other by praying for each other, praying for our fellow soldiers who are engaged in the same conflict as we are. No pride here, right? In fact, you know, being individualistic, going at it alone, being self-focused in a battle. How many here served in the military? Okay. Got there alone, right? Just serve yourself, just do your own thing. Is what? If you're in a battle, it's probably one of the easiest ways to fall in a battle, right? When we're not genuinely connected to the body of Christ, really knowing one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another, what happens? Well, we either are easily fooling ourselves by thinking we're okay when we're really not, or we're really struggling and despairing when we don't have to be, because, you know, we think we're the only ones who are going through what we're going through. Just poor old me, right? Thinking everyone else is doing great. Everyone else has it together. What's so wrong with me? That's what happens. We disconnect ourselves from the body of Christ. And so what do we then do? And we can even do this when we're attending church, by the way. We start to get really good with putting on a front, right? Shutting people out, scared that others will figure out what a failure and hypocrite I am. Me? Need prayer? Oh, sure, you can pray for my aches and pains. You know, you can pray for, my health concerns. That's okay. But for my struggles with temptation, I don't have any. Who are you kidding? Right? Pray for my struggles with for victory in my battle with impatience and anger. Pray for my struggles with lust and discontentment, or with pride and self-righteousness, or with gossip and having a hurtful tongue. I want victory over this in my life. I don't want to be like this forever. No, I don't need prayer for those things. I'm good, you're good, somehow we're all good. Or we're just good at putting on a front, hiding our sins. But what happens when we get serious in spiritual warfare? That's the context here. When we get serious about practicing the last part of Ephesians 6:18, petition for all the saints, really praying biblical requests for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, first of all, it'll mean we have to talk with each other. It means we have to talk with each other. We have to get to know each other. We have to hang out with each other. We got to care about each other's lives. We have to ask, how can I pray for you? What temptations are you struggling with? How is Satan attacking you? Here's how he's been attacking me lately. Here's some things I'm struggling with lately. We need to not only attend our Bible classes and Bible study groups and prayer groups, we have to each do our part that those groups are places where people are able to share with each other, share their struggles and encouraged in that. But that starts with me. That starts with you. Okay? No, you go first. No, I'll go first. All right? And then praying for one another in the battle. Father, imagine us praying these things for each other. Father, help my brother not to give in today to lust, but pursue purity instead. He shared with me the struggle. Help him today, Father, whatever he's going through. Help my brother not to be harsh with his wife, but love her, understand her, and be patient with her instead. Be patient with her as a fellow heir of the grace of life, Peter says. Or if we pray, Father, help my sister not to give in to the flaming arrow of discontentment that she's struggling with in her life. Strengthen her to be content with what you've given her. Help my sister in her struggles to control her tongue and cut off gossip and slander. Strengthen her to use her tongue instead to build others up and give grace to her hearers. You know, as we do this, as we pray for others and we seek prayer from others like this, guess what will happen? We'll start to realize, hey, what I'm dealing with isn't all that much different from what you're dealing with, right? And before you know it, we're becoming so concerned with one another that we're not so self-focused anymore. We're not putting on a front and hiding behind walls so much anymore. We're actually giving and receiving exhortation from one another. We're actually functioning as the body of Christ, not just attending services and meetings. Praying for one another is one of the healthiest things a Christian can do, a church can do. And praying with someone who's hurting or struggling is also one of the most loving things a Christian can do. When's the last time someone did that for you? Prayed for you, prayed with you in some things you're struggling with. How uplifting and encouraging was that? How much did God use that to humble you and strengthen you? When's the last time you prayed for someone else like that? Even over the phone. Look at this. What does Paul go on in this exhortation on spiritual warfare? What does Paul go on here to specifically ask the Ephesian church to pray for him? The great apostle Paul, verse 19. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness, pray for me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Why does Paul need this? Why does Paul ask this of the Ephesians? Because he was under temptation not to be bold. He was struggling with different fears and discouragements not to speak the truth of the gospel as he ought. In himself, Paul was weak. And he learned the blessing of confessing that and seeking the strength of the Lord in the prayers of God's people. For when I am weak, Paul said, what? Then I am strong. Strong in the Lord and his grace. And so prayer is how all the rest of the armor works and receives its power. Praying for ourselves in the battle that we might not fall, and praying for each other in the battle as well. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Father, may it be so with us. May we really get before you, Father, and think seriously about where we are as a church and as individual parts of this church. Father, may we seek you for the grace to be faithful, more faithful than we are now, more real, more humble, more needy, and more encouraging. That we would be strengthened, the strength of your might, to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. May you get the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.